Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Pei Zayin. We're holding two lines from the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Beis. To understand the Gemara, we should really go back to the Mishnah for a short moment. Going back to the middle of the Mishnah. Second line. Chamisha shekosvu klal b'toich haget. Five people wrote a get together in unison. How did they write it? Ish ploini megarish ploinis. Uploini ploinis. Mr. Smith gave a get to his wife, Mrs. Smith. And Mr. Jones gave a get to his wife, Mrs. Jones. Five of them. Chamisha shekosvu. Ba'edim amata. And underneath all of that, there are edim which are signed. Kulan ksheirim. V'nosan l'chol achas v'yachas. When you're kolel all of the five couples together in one get, in the fashion that the Mishnah just said, one pair of edim on the bottom, it works. Obviously, each one of the women has to receive the get from her husband. So, each husband will hand it over, v'nasim b'yada, and then 5 minutes later she'll give it back, and then the next husband will give it to his wife, and so on and so forth. And that will work according to the Mishnah. However, what happens if instead of trying to merge five gittin into one form, you have five separate forms, one after the other? The first form is regular, normal get, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Next regular get is Mr. and Mrs. Jones. And so on and so forth, five times. And now underneath that you have one pair of edim. Then, says the Mishnah, only the bottom get will work and not the above four gittin. So Yekoisef Teifz Cholecha B'yecha Ba'idim Amata Esha'idim Nikrin Imoi. That final get to which the signatures of the Edim are appended, that final get will be kosher. All the above gittin will not be. Now, the exact framework or the exact definition of koilel, that is the first, the klal, or the toifis, as you'll see, is a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Zok Yimar, two lines from the bottom, chamisha shekos v'klal, heichi dami klal, heichi dami toifis. Can you tell me clearly what's the difference between klal and toifis? Om Rabbi Yochanan, zman echa lekulan, zehu klal, zman lecholecha v'yechad, zehu toifis. The way Rabbi Yochanan's learning is that you write out all the five gittin on a piece of paper, on a piece of parchment, normal, like regular five gittin, one immediately after the other. It's just at the very top, you have one tarich, one zman for all of them. When you have that one zman, that being the heading, if you will, at the very top, then the next five do not have separate zmanim. Rather, they just go straight into the location or the facts of the get. That's called a klal. And then at the end, if the edim are signed, all of the five get in work. Masha einkein, if you have zman l'cholecha v'yechad, if each get has its own separate zman, zeh toifis, even though, basically, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the two cases are the same, except for that in case number one, you only have one zman at the outset, which covers all five gittin. And according to the case of the toifis, is five separate gittin with five separate zmanim. Each one has its own zman. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish said, no. I learn it differently. I feel zman echa lekulan. Now we have a toifis. Even if you have one zman at the outset, covering all five gittin, that's still considered to be toifis, and the only one that will be kosher will be the one that the Edim's signatures are appended at the end. So what's then klal? Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, klal is zman echa lekula. So how does Reish Lakish define klal? The cause of onu ploini uploini girashnu nishayseinu ploinis uploinis. You have to go and merge the key terms into one. So it has to say, both I, Mr. Smith, and Mr. Jones, and Mr. Goldberg, and Mr. McGillicuddy, five of them, we all respectively divorced or are divorcing our wives, Mrs. Smith, and Mrs. Jones, and Mrs. Goldberg, and Mrs. McGillicuddy. If you go and combine them all like that, that's the real cloud that we're talking about. And if it's signed on the bottom by the two of them, then all five pairs or five couples are unfortunately divorced. Ah, so that's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish. Is Maskele Rab Abba Rabbi Yochanan? So now it says Maskele Rab Abba. Rabbi Yochanan the Yomizman Echel Kulan Zehu Klal. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that says as long as you have one date at the outset, that covers all of them, and then when the Edom sign, they're signing on all of them. Leichesh Dilmut Dichas Musadi Abasrahu Dechasimi. Maybe the Edom, when they're signing, they only really have in mind the final get. Remember that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you could have five different gittin, one on top of the other. The key why it's called klal is because you start off with one date all the way at the top. Maybe when the Edom are signing all the way in the bottom, they're only thinking about the fifth get, which is immediately prior to their signatures. Miloy Tanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa? Edom chasumen al she'ila sholoim beget? Pasul. Chayshin and shem al she'ila sholoim chosmu. What happens if a husband wrote out a get to his wife, and at the very end, I believe the last three words of the get are hakol shor v'kayim, and then right beneath that he says, and by the way, please send my best regards to your parents. I'm not going to be seeing them anymore because unfortunately we're getting divorced, and therefore please send she'ila sholoim, my very best regards to your parents. And then you have the Edom signed down below. Says the Braisa, the get is worthless. Why? The get was written perfectly. Says the Gemara, because Shemo, I'm concerned that maybe the Edom were only focusing on the she'ila sholoim. And they said, yeah, the regards that he gave, those are perfect regards, and we are here to identify and to witness that Mr. Smith is a real gentleman, and he sends regards to his former, soon-to-be former father-in-law and mother-in-law. Says, look, what? Yeah?
How can such a debt be kosher? Because five women will not, four out of five will not remain with a debt.
That's correct.
They need a debt. So how can such debt be valid if it's written for five women? It cannot be divided in five places because the signature is only at the bottom. So we have a problem here.
No, I hear you loud and clear. Baruch Hashem, I've never participated personally in a divorce proceeding, but I am told that the minhag today is that after the get is given to the wife, the Bezdin lets her look at it, and then the wife hands it back to the Bezdin, and then the Bezdin tears it up and destroys it, and gives her a certificate saying, we hereby solemnly certify that young lady Mrs. Smith is divorced from her husband. And she now has that, and she attaches that to her new shidduch resume, and she gives a copy of that to the Masada Kedushin when he's ready to go and perform the second marriage.
Yeah, but Ms. Manatal would be at several references that the proof that the woman has that she's divorced is that she presents the get.
That's
this
correct.
This is today.
You're,
according to Ms. Manatal, this formula did not work. And we are talking about Ms. Manatal here.
You're 100% right. But Ms. Manatal, even though the Mishnah permits this type of get of five together in one piece of paper, I'm assuming that this may have happened once every 10,000 gittin. Because normally, when you go write a get, this is not the type of thing you do en masse, 12 couples together, you know, each couple does it. So, in those events, were there to be a case, Bizman HaTalmud, that you had five husbands and five wives divorcing with one get, presumably they would do that type of certificate like we just discussed.
But it wasn't. Or it had a call, which some unusual situation.
The wartime, when soldiers go and they give a conditional get to their wives, and there's a shortage of cloth or paper, and they need to do it, this is the proper way to do it. This way everyone doesn't become a gunas.
No, it's practical, no doubt about it. It's fine. It's clear.
Okay, very good. No problem. Zukti mori etzweiter. So now Rab Abba asked, according to Rabbi Yochanan, since you're in fact writing out five separate gittin, the only thing that merges them, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is the Zman Echa the Kulan at the top. Maybe when the Edom are signing, they're only signing on the bottom shtah. So you're going to go and tell me, come on, they're signing at the bottom of this long piece of paper with all of these shtaris, presumably it applies to all of them. Says, so you might bring a right from a price, so that's not the case. Because even if you have just one get, and underneath that you have a one-liner at the end of the get, which says, and by the way, please send regards to your parents, guess what? If the Edom sign beneath that says the price, Chayshimem Shemashile Shalom Chasbu, they didn't bother reading the entire get, they just read the last line and said, yo, it's such a nice guy, he's sending regards, sending his love to his soon-to-be former in-laws, that's really nice. So Timur Sai Bazoi, how according to Rabbi Yochanan does this work? So Timur Lavit Marlo Amr Bavo, don't you remember what Bavo said? The Didim of Ashley Minid Rabbi Yochanan, I understand what Rabbi Yochanan means. Shualu Posel Vishualu Kosher. Even though it says in the Braisa that if the She'ele Shalom at the end of the Get Chashin and Shema, She'ele Shalom Chosmu, that's Dafka if it's a new sentence that begins Shualu. Meaning, regards to your in-laws, regards to your parents, I should say. However, it's a vishalu, if he says, and regards to your parents, then it's kosher. Why? Because it shows that it's a continuation with that vav. And so therefore, they're not just signing in the last line, but as to the she'ele sholem, they're signing to everything. Achanami says, Imar, the same thing applies. Tichsiv bei, ployni, gives a get to his wife, ployness. Hakoshur v'kayim. And then the next paragraph begins, U Ployni gives to his Ployness. And then the next paragraph says, U Ployni gives to his Ployness. So by the continuous vav, it all becomes like one long document, and therefore the Edom sign at the bottom, they're signing to all of those five documents. Frank Mara. This is why I have another question. According to Yochanan, the Omer, Zman L'chol Echad, Zeu Toifis, if you have a separate Zman for each one, then it's considered to be like five separate gittin, and then unfortunately only the bottom one is effective, because only in the bottom one do I say that the Edom put on their signatures. Frankly, on my inner mishum toifis, why does the Mishnah tell us there's a difference between klal and toifis? But typically, davli nechtem b'yom nechtem b'layla. The Gemara assumes, says Rashi, that since you're writing out five separate gittin, they all weren't written out within the same 1 or 2 or 3 hours, but they were written out one day at a time. So on Sunday, it said at the outset, Bechad Bishaba, that's Gemara's term in another 3 full lines. And then the next, on Monday, it said, Betray Bishaba. And then on Tuesday, it said, Bishlish Bishaba, etc., etc. And each one was written out in a separate date. Although the Gemara uses the term nechta b'yoyim and nechta b'layla, Rashi says lav dafka, that's just a borrowed term, since we had that expression back on daf yud zayin, that if the get was written during the day and it was signed at night, it's possible because it's now no longer a shtar with the regular dates, it's a shtar muktam, it gives the earlier date. And we could have, therefore, potential problems with yichap al basa choysoy or with demanding pay raise. So, says our Gemara, assuming that in fact each one of these stories has a separate date, I'll tell you why the bottom chasimis only applied to the bottom shtar. It's not because of the din of toifis of our Mishnah. The reason is simply because since each one of these stories has a different date, then they would all be possible al shtar muktam, with the exception of the final shtar at the end. So my ear mishum toifis typically tabli nichta biyoy menechtem balayla. Amalei mark shisha bread of chizda ravashi hachim rim mishved rabiyoy chanan. Tichsev behu bechad bishaba bechad bishaba. We're talking about a situation where in fact all 5 shtaras were written on Sunday and each one starts off the same way. Bechad bishaba bechad bishaba bechad bishaba. Each one of the 5. And therefore, you don't have the problem of a shtar muktim because they're all written and they're now going to be all signed at one time on the same day on Sunday. But make sure that there's a vav that connects one with the other, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So we addressed 2 questions that we asked in Rabbi Yochanan, and now we go to Reish Lakish. Omri Rabbi Ravashi, Reish Lakish, the Omri Zman Echa, the Kula Nami Toifes Hava. Remember, Reish Lakish said, the Zman is not the key. The key is that you're kolel the different couples together. So now Ravin is asking Ravashi, explain to me in greater detail. Remember, in that respect, Reish Lakish argues with Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says that if you have Zman Echad Lekulan, all the five shtaris are considered to be as one. But Rish Lakish said, no. Even if it has Zman Echad Lekulan, you see, look at the very top line here of the Omud. Afilu Zman Echad Lekulan, Nami Havetoithis. So the Gemara is just repeating that according to Rish Lakish. So Hava, so Heichidami Klal. So tell me exactly what's the situation with the Klal according to Rish Lakish. How do you work that out? So it's more very simply, Tachsid Bei Hachi. We are going to merge all of the five couples into one shtar. Not five separate shtaris on one piece of paper. Five couples in one shtar. Such as, Onu, we, Ployni U Ployni, I, Yankel Smith, and Beryl Jones, and Gideon, and I don't know, and Gershon Goldberg, all three of us together, Girash and Shoseinu, we gave Gittin to our wives, Sprintz, what was the first one? Smith, and Chana Jones, and whatever, and a third name, and Ruchel Goldberg. So therefore you merged all three of them, actually all five of them together. Nemtzu, okay, period. So that's how it works, according to Rish Lakish. And that's, then if you have Chasimus at the end, it's a kosher shtar. I have a separate issue. What's that other issue? Nimtu shtei noshim miskarishes beget echad. Now you have two, really five, that are all being miskarish with one shtar. Vatayra omr v'kosim v'loch. And the Gemara darshins v'loch. V'loy lo v'lechaverto. You have to have an independent shtar for each one. According to B'yoychon, it's not a problem. So according to B'yoychon, I do have independent shtars for each one. I just have zman echad l'kulan at the top, which merges it for purposes of one set of chasimoy sa'edim, but at least each get is on its own. Here, all five of them are getting married in the same text, in the same get. Isn't that a problem of la, v'loy la, v'lechavertom? Every more, the hoder kosev ploini girish ploinis or ploini girish ploinis. Kunt Rish Lakish, you're right. After this merging language that we just had of ploini, ploini, girash, ploini, ploinis, you have to say again at the end, Hadar Kosav, after all of that writing, you have to write, Ploini Girish Ploinis, Smith gave a get to his wife, Mrs. Smith, Uploini Girish Ploinis, and Jones gave a get to his wife, Mrs. Jones, and so on and so forth. By doing that, you're now splitting them up, so even though you started off with that major merge, as long as you isolate each couple again at the end, that's sufficient to take care of the law, for the law of the chaver to kasha. Omli Ravina Ravashi, umayshna miha, don't you remember we had a braisa? More, by the way, we had this earlier on in our mesechtas, I'm sure you all remember back on Daf Membeis, where the Gemara there was talking about the din of shtar shichur for an eved. So it said over there, it said in the braisa, koisiv kol nechosiv l'shnei avodah, if a person had two trusty avodah, and he wants to go and give them all a big present, and koisim kol nechosim. He hands over all of his nechosim, everything that he owns, he gives the shnei avod. Okay, konu, they are koine, umeshachran ze as ze, and each one can meshachra the other one. Meaning, since he's given all of his nechosim, nechosim by definition includes the avodim themselves. So, Jack and Joe avodim, he writes out a shtar, Jack and Joe Avodim, I'm giving you my entire estate, lock, stock, and barrel. So now they own everything, including themselves. Now, since they both own themselves, how are they going to become free people? Each one of them is going to write a shtar shichra to the other one. Each one is going to say, whatever percentage I have in you of that you're my Eved, I hereby convey it to you, and I free you, and you become Ben Choy. And the other one does the same to the other one. Mela, both of them are now going to be free. Freyti Mara. V'lavu kimna. Oh, that's the text. So now, since the din of Shtar Shechar by an Eved, we learn from the din of a get by an Isha, where do we learn it from? La, here it says, the cost of law, safe increases. And by Avodim it says, Oichufsha le'nitan la. So in la, Shtar Shichra has many of the same dinim as a get. That being the case, so how can you go and put both Shtari Shichra into one? Don't they have a problem of la And for the Gemara, if you remember back on Daf Mem Beis, we already asked that kasha, v'lavu kimna, and we already concluded here on Daf Mem Beis that it's only b'shnei shtaris. Not that he wrote in one shtar to both Jack and Joe, but rather in two separate shtar. One shtar he wrote for Jack, and the other one he wrote for Joe. You recall that Rashi back on Daf Mem Beis asked, how do you make sure that they're both given simultaneously? Because if you give Jack first all of your nechasim, then there's nothing left for Joe. And Rashi said, over here, it's talking about that the Odoin gave both Shtori Shichrur to a third party and asked him to be Zoich on behalf of the other two. And it goes according to the Rabbanan that holds that it's a schus for an Eved to go free. Remember, a mayor said it's not a schus because and if he happens to be an Eved of a Koyin, he wants to eat the Truma. But according to the Chachamim, every Eved wants to be a free man. So you give both two separate shtaris to Yankel Smith, and you say, Yankel Smith, I have two Avodim, Jack and Joe, unrelated to you, Yankel Smith. I want you to go and be Zoichen these two shtaris now simultaneously. And Yankel says, sure, no problem. You hand it over to shtaris. Yizoichin both. So now both of them become free at the same moment, and you don't have a problem of la v'loy lov v'chaverta, because they're each getting a separate shot. So now the Gemara is going to bring a raya to both Rabbi Yochanan and to Reish Lakish from respective prices. Tani gavas Rabbi Yochanan, Tani gavas Reish Lakish, Tani gavas Rabbi Yochanan. Remember what Rabbi Yochanan said? Rabbi Yochanan said that the key is whether you have zman echad lekula. So Hamisha Chakosu Matoicha get Ish Ploini Megarish Plainis, Uploini Plainis, Uploini Plainis. So you have five writing out five separate gittin. Five separate gittin on one long piece of parchment. Uzmanech Lekulan, and at the very outset at the top, it gives one date for all, Chad Bishaba, on all five. But Edom Almata, the Edom song at the bottom, Kulung Shaden. But Tinos the Cholachas Viachas. Oh! Very clearly, just like Rabbi Yochanan said, if it's manecha lekulin, it merges all of them, and then all the five gittin are kosher. Zmanecha, if however, zman lecholecha v'yachad, if each one has its own separate date, even though they're the same date, for edim l'mata, and the edim signed at the bottom, esh edim nikroim imoy kosher, the ones that the edim are signed directly underneath them are kosher, and again, it's talking about that you didn't have the vavs, because you have the vavs that would merge them. Anyway, bottom line, Zukti Gemara, that's a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, that the key distinction between the koilel, or the klal, and the toifis, is the klal is manecha the kulan, and the case of the toifis, it's separate zman and lecholecha diach. Now, we bring Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who we did not have before, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira disagrees to a certain extent. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Oimer, in yesh revach, b'neim posel, tim lav kosher. Shein Zman Mafsika. So the Rebbeinu ben Maseira, as far as I'm concerned, the Zman is really not the key. The key is there any space between one get and the next? Because if there is space between one get and the next, maybe it was intended that separate pair of Edim sign on the bottom of each one of these gittin. And then they decided, you know, we don't have so many people around, there's not so much ink left, let the two just sign on the very bottom. No, that's not a good idea, because if the intention was that there should be separate edim for each one, then it's five separate gittin written on a long piece of paper. You can go and take a scissors and, you know, cut them and make them into five separate documents. So says the Gemara, that's the key, whether you have a revach being time or not, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Tani was Reish Lakish. Remember, Reish Lakish said that the key is not in the zman, but whether or not you merged the five names by saying Smith and Jones and Goldberg, etc., are giving gittin, are now divorcing their respective wives, Mrs. Smith, Mrs. Jones, etc. So Tani Gavas Reish Lakish, Chamisha Shekosvu Klal Batecha Get, Onu Ployni U Ployni, Kirashnu Nishoseinu Ployniz U Ployniz, Ployni, and then we have to repeat it at the end so we don't have the problem of the La, the La V'chaberta. And then he repeats it, Ployni Girish Ployniz, U Ployni Girish Ployniz, Uzman Echel Kulon, and there's one Zman for all of them. Since I merged them by saying Onu pliny, 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 girashnu, pliny, 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 like we said before, that's the klal, and that works. However, zman l'cholecha v'yachad, if there was a separate zman for each one, v'revach l'cholecha v'yachad, and there was separate space between one and the other, v'yidim al-mata, she'edim nikrayim, imoy is kosher. The Gemara is going to ask in another two lines, why in the Sefer does it say zman l'cholecha v'yachad? That's not the key. The key, according to Reish Lakish, is onu pliny pliny girashnu b'nishesena plinus of plinus. So the dates is not what's so important. So Gemara is going to address that in another moment. But in the meantime, we're going to bring yet another man diyama that we did not have until now. Remeir Omer avu b'she'en rev of beinayim posel shezman mafsika. Remeir seems to be the exact opposite of Reb Yehuda ben Maseir, because Reb Yehuda ben Maseir says, make sure im yesh revach v'atzola beinayan posel. Why? She'ein zman mafsikin. The zman is not the key. The key is if there is revach. Here, Remeir says the other way around. Av b'she'ein revach b'nei posel, she'azman mafsikin. It's the zman that's mafsik. So they seem to be the two different sides of the same coin. But now we're getting back to the fact that this price was right, Reish Lakish. And remember, we asked Reish Lakish, Ma'ir yaman l'cholecha v'yechad, ha'omer zman echa l'kulen, nami toif v'sabah. Reish Lakish, as far as he's concerned, one zman or separate zmanim is not the key. The key is whether or not it says onu pliny uplini kirashnu plinus uplinus. So therefore, why does he say in the second half? It's not that Reish Lakish is speaking; it's the Tanakama who's speaking. But we're assuming that this Tanakama holds like Reish Lakish, which said Tani Kavas and Reish Lakish. So therefore, according to Reish Lakish, why would the Tanakama now make a distinction and say, oh, by the way, it's man chalecha v'yachad? Then it happens to be separate toifsin, and only the bottom one is kosher. But that's not the key with zman cholecha v'yecha. The key is whether you said onu pliny or pliny. So my ear is zman cholecha v'yecha, omer zman echa l'kula nami toifesava. Right at the top line here of our omer, till the zman echa l'kula nami toifesava. Everyone, hani mi lechel lo yavinu mi kara. Avlochad avinu mi kara. He probably was man in. He loy loy. Says Reish Lakish, when did I say that even Zman Echa L'Kula, now we have a toifis, it happens to be separate shtarais? That's the Lord Avinu Meikara if he didn't merge them. Avalachan Avinu Meikara, if he did merge them, how did he merge them? By saying, Onu, Pliny, 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 where Girashnu, Plinus, 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 ah, so he's merging all of them. He probably blew Zman in. If he had separate Zman with good, Eloi, Loi. So if you look at the last Rashi right before the Mishnah, four lines before the wide lines down below, Aval Hachan Ravina Mikar. Dohadik Tani Zman L'cholecha V'yechad Kigoyin. What did the Tanakama mean when he says L'cholecha V'yechad? Going to the Kosev Hachi, Kirik Tani Reisha. Onu Pliny Uplini, Girashnu Neshainu, Plinus Uplinus. And then again, Pliny Girish Plinus, V'yechad B'Shabbos. Uplini Girish Plinus, V'yechad B'Shabbos. The Kiman Darvinu Meikara. Since he merged them at the outset, if he didn't go and split them up with Zman, it wouldn't be split up. Ah, so therefore, if you go and split them at the end by repeating the Zman and saying each one with a different Zman, then only the final shtar will be kosher. However, if he didn't split it up with separate Zman, but he did merge all of them together, then all five would be kosher. So bottom line is, according to Reish Lakish, you don't need to go and write this zman. You don't need to have zman echa l'kula. But if you do have separate zmanim at the end, after you've merged, onu pliny, 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 and then you repeated it, pliny gives a get to plinus, and pliny gives a get to plinus, you have to do that because of love of l'chaberta, don't throw in Bechad b'shaba, bechad b'shaba, bechad b'shaba each time. Because by putting in a separate zman each time, that's going to divide up the merged get into five separate gittin, and then only the bottom one will be kosher, and not the top four. Okay, everybody, so with this we've concluded the interesting discussion. Yes, what's up there, Brother Shai?
What do we do with the
Hariat Mutaris the Cholodom. All the
right, and Shem Iro and the Shem Isha and all these other names. So it's just that's all in there. That's considered the Torah. And the Tophis is just the outer pieces of the Zman and the...
The Zman, the Shema Ish, V'Shema Ish, Shem Iroi, V'Shem Ira, and Hari Atmeter, Zecholotim. That's the Torah. Our Mishnah and our Gemara is using the term Tophis slightly differently than which we've used in the past, because in the past we've used the term Tophis to mean the boilerplate. That's the standard Bloomberg form which is identical in all Gittin. The Toref is just the empty spaces. So normally you leave empty space, two lines, for Smith divorcing Mrs. Smith. He lives here, she lives there, and in the Miscaria he has a nickname and she has a nickname, and all of that is in your two lines, and then you just finish all the rest being standard terminology, right? Gerish Vukin and Get Beturim, like we had yesterday in the Mishnah, etc. However, what our Gemara is saying over here is, instead of just having two lines, they left 10 lines blank. And they had Onu Smith from this town giving get to Mrs. Smith from that town, and Jones from this town giving get to Mrs. Jones from that town, and repeating it 5 times, and then continuing the boilerplate. So according to Rish Lakish, that merges them all together into one. If it's signed in the bottom, then it's kosher for all of them. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's not what we mean by klal. We mean 5 separate gittin, each one independent. Just make sure that zman echad lekulan, and make sure that there are vavim that attach each one to the previous one, so that when they sign at the bottom, they're signing to all 5. It's good, Brother Shai, you're okay?
Yeah.
Good.
Yes, thank you.
My pleasure. On to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah in concept is very easy, as well as the Gemara. However, sometimes in the details, in the minutiae, you can get a little bit lost. But it's very straightforward. Shnei gittin shekasim zeh b'tzad zeh. Now we're not talking about 5 gittin, one underneath the other. We're talking 2 parallel to one another. One on the right and one on the left. Very easy to picture in your mind. So you have shnei gittin shekasim zeh b'tzad zeh. Ushnaim edim ivrim boim mitach zeh l'tach zeh. Ushnaim edim yevonim boim mitach zeh l'tach zeh. What our Mishnah is talking about is that we have 2 gittin, again, one next to each other. And they are signed by 4 edim altogether. The first edim are signing in Hebrew. The Mishnah refers to them edim ivrim. They're writing in Ivris. And the next 2 are signing in Yevonis, in Greek. However, those 2 that are signing in Greek are wonderful Haimisha, Freilicha, Taira Jews, Yidden. However, they live in Yavan and they're more experienced in signing in Greek than in signing in Hebrew. Okay. All 4 are therefore signed under both kin. Now, let's talk about 1 8 at a time. Let's assume you start off with Reuven ben Yaakov. Even if Reuven ben Yaakov stretches his name out and he writes in big letters so that his name now appears underneath both gittin, however, we're going to split it down the middle. And we're going to say Reuven is underneath the first get, and ben Yaakov is underneath the second get. And therefore, the real eight is after Reuven, not Yaakov. Yaakov, in fact, may chas v'shalom already have passed away. Or he may just be somewhere else. The person who's signing is Reuven ben Yaakov. So Reuven is the only witness. And since his name appears under the right get, then the right get has 1 8. If immediately underneath Reuven ben Yaakov you have Yitzchak ben Avraham, so you'll have 2 Edim, Reuven and Yitzchak, both whose names appear under the right get. However, their names do not appear under the left get. Their fathers' names appear under the left get, but their fathers are not Edim. So therefore, only the right get will be a kosher get signed by 2 Edim. But what about the 2 Yevonim that are down below? Ah, that's an interesting story. The way Rashi learns that the 2 Edim in Yevonis also write their names from right to left, just like when you're writing in Hebrew, that you write from right to left, as opposed to English and other languages you write from left to right. I see Barry is not happy with that pshat, but that's how Rashi is learning our Mishnah. The Rambam and others, in fact, learn that in Greek, you go and write from left to right, just like in English. Any and all of that is Greek to me, so I'm not going to try to be machriya, chas v'sholem, between these great Rishonim, Rashi and the Rambam and others. But Rashi, the way he learns is that they write from right to left, just like in Hebrew. However, there is a major, major difference, and that is when they write their names, they are mechabed first their father, and then write their names afterwards. Rashi gives an example, as we'll see in a moment. If a person signs Yosef ben Shimon, do not greet him and say, "Hey, Yossi," or "Yosef, how are you doing?" He's going to say, "That's my father's name. My name is Shimon." And when he writes Yosef ben Shimon, he's writing Yosef the father, I ben Shimon, I am the son, Shimon of Yosef. By writing it that way, says Rashi, I got a problem. What's my problem? That now, when it says Yosef ben Shimon, it's not Yosef that is attesting as he's the witness. Yosef is not here. It's Shimon that is attesting. Oh, but the good news is that Shimon's name appears now under the second get. Right? Because if you're writing Yosef ben Shimon, and really his name is Shimon ben Yosef, the way we look at it, that Shimon is the A that's signing, his name is stuck under the second get, the left get. And the same thing Rashi says, if you have a second name, I don't know why Rashi brings Yachzeel ben Naphtali, but regardless, you have Yachzeel ben Naphtali, it's really not Yachzeel the son of Naphtali, it's really Naphtali the son of Yachzeel, and so therefore when he signs Yachzeel ben Naphtali, Naphtali is on the second get. Ah, so Baruch Hashem, now I have two chasimas of the Edom on the left get as well. So if I had four Hebrew names done normally, Reuven ben Yaakov ben Yitzchak ben Avraham, and then Yaakov ben Yitzchak, and Moshe ben Amram, then all four witnesses would be on the right get, and nobody on the left get, because the left get would only have the benefit of the father's names, but it wouldn't have the witnesses' names. But because we have two Greek names, where the son's names appear where we normally would find the father's name, so I have two Edom under the right get, and I have two under the left get, and that's why the Mishnah says, that's why it works. 1 second, Barry, will be right with you. So Shnei Gidim Shikasa Zeb Tzadzeh. Shnei Medim Ivrim Boi Mitacha Zeh Letacha Zeh. Ushnei Medim Yivanim Boi Mitacha Zeh Letacha Zeh. Esha Edim Rishonim Nikroim Imoi Kosher. As long as the Edim Rishonim are signed on both kitten, in this case, Reuven and Yitzchak are signed on the first get, so those are kosher. And in the second case, the Yosef ben Shimon, Shimon being the real name of Yosef ben Shimon, Shimon is on the left get, and if you have Yachzeel ben Naphtali, Naphtali being the right name, it's now both of those names are on the left get, both of those getting will now be kosher. Before everybody raises issues, let's take a quick look at the Rashi to make sure that we're saying it correctly. Rashi, first white line, Shnei getting Shikasa Zeb Tzadzeh, Baruch Lev Megillah, in the width, not one underneath the other, but next to each other. Two regular Hebrew signatures are going from right to left. Same thing. So that's simple. Now the next part, which is a little bit more confusing. So we're talking about Jews. We're not talking about Greeks. Jews that are signing in Greek. Ubeloshin Yevonis Kedera Chazu. Loshin Yevonis, you sign just like when signs in Hebrew from right to left. Kedera Chazu. Avo, so what's the difference? The difference is Chasimas HaYevonim Einam Nikris KeChasimas HaYevon. You don't read it the same way. Shekashi Yevoni Choisim Yosef Ben Shimon. He signed his name Yosef Ben Shimon. So you're willing to go over to him and say, oh, thank you Yosef for signing. Beyaduah Sheshmai Shimon Ben Yosef. His real name is Shimon Yosef. Shekach mispareshes chasimosan. That's how you explain their signature. When you see Yosef and Shimon, kloimar, benoy shel Yosef is Shimon. V'nim tashem o'ed, chosim al get sheni. What we have gained by this is that the real person, Shimon, who is the son of Yosef, even though he signs Yosef and Shimon, his name Shimon is now under the second get. The shame of Chosim al Rishon, and it's his father who signed on the first get. Really, the kazeh, the asterisk is not going on this, it's going on a later Rashi. So therefore, continuing the next Rashi, Esher Edom Rishonim, Nikroim Shemoi Imoi Kosher, Ima Ivriim Chasumun Lamala, Hayimini Kosher, Vim Hayivonim Chasumun Lamala, Hasmoli Kosher, Gemara Parech Idach Amai Nesel. So Rashi says slightly differently than I said before, so I apologize, and that's the reason why I wanted to learn the Rashi. What Rashi's saying is, if I have four Edom, I don't say that both Gittin are kosher, but rather the first pair of Edom, they will be Machshir, the first get. So if the first pair of Edom happen to be Jews signing in Hebrew, so their names are going to be under the right get, so the right get will be the kosher get. If, on the other hand, the two Yevonim are signing first underneath the two Gittin, then the two left Gittin will be kosher, because their first names, their real names, are under the left get. And as Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to go and ask, why don't you say that both Gittin are kosher? Say that the two Hebrew ones relate to the right, and the two Greek ones relate to the left, and say that both Gittin are kosher, and yet Shem will see that in the Gemara shortly. Barry, you still have a question?
Yes, what we learned that the Baal has to designate the Edom, so why are we just assigning them haphazardly, right, left, right? It's the Baal's decision who were the, it's listed are two separate men and two separate Gittin, it's the Baal's decision who were the Edom he appointed to sign on the get. Why are we making this piecework?
You're absolutely right. You have the Baal that is appointing the two Edom, but he didn't tell him where the Edom have to sign. He just said, you see the two Gittin over there? Please go and sign your names under the Gittin. My get happens to be the one on the right. Please sign underneath it. Fine. So you have now two Edom sign on it. Now the person who owns the left get said also to two Edom, please go and sign. Sure, if you happen to sign. And now both Baalim are now sitting in the corner, and they are waiting until the Bezin is ready to begin the handing over of the get. And the four Edom are signing. Two are signing in Hebrew, two are signing in Greek. They signed under the two documents. And now this joint piece of paper with the two Gittin comes in front of the Bezin. Before they say, okay, Smith, give your get to your wife, etc., they look and say, oh, wow, these are four signatures. Two are in Hebrew and two are in Greek. Well, the two Hebrew ones are the first ones here, and so therefore the right get will be kosher. Or if the two Greek signatures are the first ones on top, then the left one will be kosher. However, the second pair of Edom will not be kosher. Again, Rashi said, we have to wait for the Gemara to see why Taka, the second pair of Edom, won't be kosher. But each one had been appointed respectively by the respective Baalim to go and sign on the get. Continuing the Mishnah. Now, what happens if it's haphazard? Eid Echad Ivri, the Eid Echad Yivani, the Eid Echad Ivri, the Eid Echad Yivani, Boim mitachazel letachazel, Shneim Sulim. If you have this type of haphazard situation, both are going to be possible. But what's the reason why they're both going to be possible? We're going to see in the Gemara, but basically, there's a long Rashi here, and there's a long Rashi on the Amud Beis. But to condense it all and to merge it into very, very brief, what the Gemara is going to say is that we are concerned that one of the Yevani Edom signed Gundalis. What does Gundalis mean? Rashi says on the Amud Beis, Gundalis means that he, the Yevani Eid, is going to try to mimic the custom of the Hebrew Edom. And even though normally, when they write Yosef ben Shimon, it means Shimon ben Yosef, however, we are concerned that he's going to want to write like the normal Hebrew way of writing, and therefore he's going to write his name in reverse. And even though his name is Shimon, and he usually signs Yosef ben Shimon, he's going to go and sign Shimon first and Yosef second, and as a result, you're not going to have, we might have a situation of three names of the witnesses under one, and only one name of a witness under the second, where the other three are going to be the names of the fathers. Under normal circumstances, as we said in the Reisha, you have two Hebrew and two Greek, then the two witnesses will be under the right, and the names of the other two witnesses will be on the left. However, in this situation, we are concerned, since you have Yehudi, Yevani, or Ivri, Yevani, Ivri, Yevani, we're concerned that one of the Yevanim is going to try to write the same way the Hebrew writers sign. He'll try to sign the same way, and therefore we're going to have now the names of three of the actual names of the witnesses under, for instance, the Reichstag, and the three fathers plus one name of one of the witnesses under the other Shtar. But since I don't know which one is which, therefore both of them are going to be possible. We'll see much on the Amid Pes. Okay, let's start again. We started at the beginning of the Mishnah Shnei Gittin Shekos and Zebet Tzadzeh. Only one of the two Gittin is kosher, not both. Break them up. Liskasher Haiber Uvein V'Haiber Ben Yaakov 8. D'Hotnan Ben Ish Ploini 8 kosher. When we get to the Amid Beis, if you want to take a quick peek at the Amid Beis, you'll see we have another lengthy Mishnah. The good news is that that Mishnah is much easier. Four lines before the end of the Mishnah, it says, Ish Ploini Eid Kosher, Ben Ish Ploini Eid Kosher. Oh, so you don't even have to write your first name. If a person's name is Reuven Ben Yaakov, if he just writes Ben Yaakov Eid, that's kosher, right? Ben Ish Ploini Eid is kosher. So for Eid Gemara, why don't we go and say that both Gittin are kosher, and that under the first get it says Reuven, well that's his name, that's fine. And the second one it says Ben Yaakov Eid, we just said Ben Ish Ploini Eid is fine. And so they say that both of these are kosher. And perhaps Rashi suggests that maybe these are considered to be like two separate Eidim. Because maybe Reuven's fine on one and Ben Yaakov on the other. Tartanam Ben Ish Ploini Eid kosher. Even Imara, the cause of Reuven Ben Akama, the Yaakov Eid Abasra. If Utaka say Ben Yaakov on the other one, you're right. That's what it says in the Mishnah. That Ben Ish Ploini Eid is kosher. But here it's talking about he wrote Reuven Ben on the first one, and Yaakov Eid on the second one, and that's not enough. Pray to Mar, V'liskasha Hai Reuven Ben, V'liskasha Hai Yaakov Eid. Well, what's the problem? Reuven Ben will be one, and Yaakov Eid will be the second. Dortanat Ish Ploini Eid kosher. It said in the Mishnah, not only Ben Ish Ploini Eid kosher, but Ish Ploini Eid kosher. So therefore, it says Yaakov Eid is kosher. So it's more like Kosov Eid. It doesn't say Eid. It only says Reuven Ben, and it says Yaakov. It doesn't say Eid. And our Mishnah only allowed for it to be kosher if it says either Ben Ish Ploini Eid or Ish Ploini Eid. But Ish Ploini alone doesn't do the trick. He by saying Loilim the Kosov Eid. He did write it. We all know that that's not Yaakov. In other words, the only reason why we were assuming that perhaps both are kosher, it's not because Reuven is signing twice on first and on second. But rather what the Gemara is saying is, why do I automatically jump to conclusions when it says Reuven ben Yaakov 8 on one line, that that's one chasima, maybe it's two chasimas. This is Reuven, and this is ben Yaakov 8. Like the Gemara asked initially. Says the Gemara, no, that cannot be, because we can tell the Chasima. Everybody here in the Bezin Shtibel knows both Reuven and Yaakov, and we know his father, Reb Yaakov. And Reb Yaakov doesn't sign like that. That must be Reuven's signature. No, if it's a Reuven's signature, it's only one Chasima, it's only one Eid, it's not two Eid. Great Gemara, but maybe Bedilma Bishma Davua Chasima. Maybe the second signature of Ben Yaakov or Yaakov Eid is really Reuven signing, and when Reuven is signing, he's signing in the name of his father. Instead of writing his own name, I guess he wants to give cover to his father, so he signs his father's name. And therefore, maybe these two are written, are signed by the same Reuven, but Reuven is signing twice. Reuven under one, and Ben Yaakov on the other. And that's him signing in the name of Ben Yaakov. So, Tiyumara, Leishavik Inish Shnei V'chosim Shema Davua. A person doesn't go and abandon his own name and write the name of his father. If you're writing a name of, your name is Reuven Ben Yaakov, you would not sign Yaakov. In fact, perhaps it would even be a sign of disrespect that you take over your father's name, and you go and maybe you're masquerading your own identity by using your father's name. Maybe the person went and used his father's name as his personal simon, not as a signature, but as a simon. And we have this already, this Gemara already before. Rav Tzaya Kavra, Rav Chanina Charusa, Rav Chizda Samach, Rav Oishi Ayin, Rav Abba Huna Tzaya Makusa, that instead of signing their names, each one of these Amiroim had their own special picture that they would draw, and that was their name. So Rav would go make a picture of a fish, Rav Chanina of a charusa. Charusa is a branch of a date tree, of a palm tree. Rav Chizor or a samach for the samach and chista, Rav Oishir or an ayin for the ayin and Oishir. Rav Ravuna made a makusa. Makusa means the mast on the top of a ship, or the viloin, the sail on top of a sailboat. So he made that type of picture. So here maybe Reuven ben Yaakov wrote Yaakov as his simon. So tomorrow the chotz of inish l'shavuy l'shmod avu a simna. You don't take your father's name and make that into a simon. If you want to make a picture, it's one thing. But don't take your father's name as a picture. Remember when we learned the Reisha, we had four signatures, two Hebrew, two Greek, and we said, L'choyre, there should be no problem, because the Reuven ben Yaakov and Yitzchak ben Avram, Reuven and Yitzchak are both under the first signature, under the first get on the right, and the two Yevonim have their signatures, and since they write their father's name first, and their own name second, so therefore their names will be under the second one. So let's go and say both are kosher. That's what Rashi asked, if you remember, when we were learning the Mishnah. L'skashai b'shnei Eidim Ivrim, L'skashai b'shnei Eidim Yevonim, did not. Get your kosher Ivris, the aid of Yevonis. Yevonis, the aid of Ivris is kosher. That's the next Mishnah down below. That if you had a get that's written in Hebrew with Greek signatures, or written in Greek with Hebrew signatures, that's kosher. And so therefore, I had presumably two gittin, both written in Hebrew, signed by two Hebrew signatures and two Greek signatures, it should work. But he's saying, like, even the muflik b'shnei shitin loy, maybe you're going to go and tell me, I know why the bottom two signatures don't work. Because the bottom two signatures are separated from the text of the get by the signatures of the first two eidim. So there's a revach between the first and the second get. And maybe that's the reason why the second pair of eidim are not effective. Says him, well, that's not true. What happens if you have a document and then you have two signature spaces, signature block, and you notice that the soifer wrote the get with slightly smaller font than you expected, and there are in fact two blank lines, two blank spaces before you get to the signatures of the agent. What do I do now? You have to be very careful. You don't want someone to go and insert a tanai in between that the wife has to give $1 million or whatever. So Chizkiah would go and fill it up with kraven. He said, if you filled up the two lines of space between the get and between the chasimus on the bottom, you could fill it up with fillers, putting in other people's names, even other people that are kraven, two brothers, a father and a son, because those are not the real Adam, those are just the fillers. The important thing is that you have the two kosher eidim on the bottom. So therefore, Zokti Gemara, why don't we say in our Mishnah as well that all four signatures are kosher, two for the right and two for the left. Everything Gemara, Vatani Ziri, Ziri Taka learned in a Braisa, Shneim Ksherim, Einachanami, that both of the Gittin will be kosher, both the right one and the left one. One will have the benefit of the Hebrew signatures, and the one on the left will have the benefit of the Greek signatures, since the Greeks write their first names at the end, so therefore the real witnesses will be signing underneath the left shtar. So Gemara, that's good according to Zeiri. V'tani Ditan, what about Artana? Gemara, Delma, Gundulis Chosim, the Kulu Achadu de Chasimi, Pus mein de Gundulis. So Rashi says the Gundulis means that the person that the Greek wrote it like we do. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi Vitana Didon. It's about a line or two higher than where we are in the Gemara. Vitana Didon. The Pasul Achroin. He says that the second get is no good, only the right get. Kosova Dilma Gundlis Chosim. Hayivon. Kloimar Shloikim in Hogam. El Kederacho Ivrim Chosmu. That instead of. So the person's real name was Shimon ben Yosef. They normally sign Yosef ben Shimon. However, because they saw that the first two Adam signed in Lashon Kodesh, and they recognize that they're signing their first names then their father's name, so then they too, the Yevonim, reversed their signatures and wrote their names first and then the father's name. Ah, so now as a result, all four signatures are now under the first shtar, and that's why the second shtar is possible, because maybe Gundelis Chosim, all of them wrote Gundelis, but Kulu are now all four Chasimis, Achad Huda Chasimi. All of them are now the real names of the four Eidim are under the first shtar and not under the second. Under the second shtar, you only have the father's names and not the names of the actual witnesses. So that's why only the first one is kosher and not the other. But that's only our Mishnah is so choishish. However, Ritzi'iri is not choishish, and he said, now you can assume that they sign normally, and therefore all four chasimis are good, and therefore both shtaris are good. What's this lashon of gundelis? So Rashi says, if you look at the next Rashi, kulu echad, kulu achad, kulan al rishon, kosholim min hogan kori gundelis. Anytime you're writing not the normal way, that's called gundelis. For is v'chus ha-goinim odem ha-mishtamish b'yad ha-smolus. If you have a lefty, koyin loy b'mkoymenu gundlia, l'fisha mishana miseder ha-mishtamshin. So you see that the word gundelis doesn't only mean signing your name backwards. Gundelis means a person that acts different than the norm in terms of writing. So for normal, most people, today of course there are quite a few lefties, but years ago being a lefty was considered to be kind of a little bit off the beaten track. So a lefty was maybe only 5 or 10% of the population. So a person that was a lefty, he writes these signs gundelis, just or gundliya, because of the fact that he was a lefty. Okay, back to the Sefer of the Mishnah. And basically the Sefer is going to be the same that we just had. Eidach Rebiyecha, Eidach Yivani. And then Eidach Yivani and Eidach Ivri, right? We had a confusion of Eidim. It wasn't 2 plus 2. It was 1 and 1 and 1 and 1, right? You had Ivri first and Yivani, then Ivri and then Yivani. Right? Eidach Ivri, Eidach Yivani, Eidach Ivri, Eidach Yivani. So since it's all mixed up, says the Mishnah, no good. Pray you over this kasha, hai bi Eidach Ivri. Why don't you go and say that even though it's Hebrew and then Greek, and Hebrew and Greek, let the first two Edom, the Hebrew and the Greek, relate to one, and the next two, the Hebrew and Greek, relate to the other. Because there's nothing wrong with Greek, Dr. Nana. The next Mishnah, which we're going to learn in another moment, Eid Echad Ivri Eid Echad Yivani is kosher. Doesn't have to be Dafka Ivri Ivri. And Yivani, Yivani, you can have one Ivri, one Yivani, that's also kosher. Everything about Tani Zirish name Kshem, oh, the same Zir as before, said in a Hanani. In the safe of our Mishnah, would also be kosher. I don't care that it's Hebrew, Greek, it doesn't make difference. The Tani Didan, Velma Gundlis Chosim, Utlos Achad, V'chad Achad. This is how we explained what we learned in the Mishnah before. Once again, we're concerned that one of the Yivanim is going to go and sign like his brethren who are signing in Lashon HaKodesh, and so therefore from all of these four Chasimas, three of them, their actual names will be under, for instance, the right get, and under the second one, only one of their real names will be under the second get, and the other three will be the three names of the fathers, and therefore a father is, he's not signing here, the father is somewhere else, and therefore I could possibly have 3 plus 1. 3 plus 1, and I don't know which one is the 3 and which one is the 1. In other words, if the Edom was still around, maybe the Bezdin could ask them. Maybe the Bezdin didn't speak Greek, and they said it's all Greek to us. And the Greek signers already left. Anyway, we don't know who signed and what, how, who's when, and therefore, says the Gemara, that's why it's possible. But according to Zeiri, it's all fine. Okay, the next Mishnah is much simpler. Zok to Mishnah. Shir mikta saget b'kosi b'daf hasheni v'edim amata kosher. They wrote out the sofer wrote out the get, and it turned out that when he was writing his 12 lines of text of the get, and then the two signatures down below, he realized he doesn't have enough room on the right hand side of the parchment. So now he made a second column, and he wrote the last one or two lines on the second column, signed by the Edom on that second column. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi says that Bimkoimenu or Bilshoinenu, they call the second column, column. He uses the English term, really the French term, kolomil, which is like the word kalim. Anyway, so she makes this a get. He left over, the sefer left over the last line or two of the get, and the kasuv daf hashem. Daf hashem doesn't mean a second piece of paper. It just means parallel to the left on that same piece of paper, just like we have the two gittin written parallel, one next to each other, right and left. Here he finished off the first get on the second column. Beidim al-mat, that's also kosher. And we'll see in the Gemara what the possible concern might have been. What happens if the Eidim... Now, as you know, Eidim sign on the bottom of a document. What happens if Eidim signed on the document, but they didn't sign on the bottom? They signed Barosh Adaf on the top of the document. The Aleph adds Oy Min Atzad on the side of the document. Oy Mi Achra Beget Poshet. You know, a Get Mekusher, which we spoke about yesterday, you have all these folds, and the people that signed had to sign on the back of the folds. Here, you had a Get Poshet, a regular normal Get. And instead of signing on the bottom of the Get, the Eidim signed on the back of the Get. In all these cases, it's possible. The boys say, don't try to be a brand new maverick. Do what you're supposed to. You sign on the bottom of the document. Not on the top, and not on the side, and not on the back. All of those are possible. Now, hikiv roish shel zeh, betzad roish shel zeh. What happens if you wrote two gittin on the same piece of parchment? However, you wrote them, if you will, upside down. In other words, you first wrote starting from the middle of the piece of paper, you wrote out a full get, and now you turned it upside down, and now from the remaining what was previously the top of that piece, you write out a second get, so that the beginning of the two gittin are one next to each other. And what did the person do? And you had the Eidim sign in between, Eidim Be'emtza. Shnei Psulim, neither of the two gittin is good, because in each case, the Eidim are signing on the Roish Hadaf instead of signing underneath the get. And therefore, that's worthless. Soifah Shel Zeh B'Tzad Soifah Shel Zeh. What happens instead of head to head, you had the tail to the tail? In other words, you had Hakoshar of Kayim on the top get, and then skip a line or two, and you have again an upside down get with Hakoshar of Kayim. And now the Edom are Be'emtza. So then says the mission very simply, Asha Edom Nikon Imoy Kosher. Figure out which one the Edom are a natural finishing touch to the get. Hakoshar of Kayim, you have the two names, that would be the one that's kosher. You look at the other get, which is upside down, the two signatures will be upside down. So that doesn't work. Roish shel zeh b'tzad soif shel zeh. This is, of course, a normal case, that you finish writing one get, and now the soifer immediately wrote out a second get right underneath it. For Eidim be'emtza, but there was enough space for the Eidim to sign in between. Esh Eidim nikrim b'soif, oy kosher. Then the top get, to which the Eidim signed underneath, that will be kosher. The one underneath that will have to have their own set of Eidim at the end. Okay, well, that's straightforward. Now we're repeating what the Gemara quoted before. Get Shekosvi Ivris ve'Eidav Yavanis, or Yavanis ve'Eidav Ivris. Eidachad Ivri ve'Eidachad Yavani. In all of these cases, Beis, insert the word kosher. Well, that is fine. Now, Kosov Soifa ve'Eid. Kosher, we had this already early on in Masechta. We had already a couple of days ago. What happens? You don't have two Eidim signed. You have the Soifer signed the get, not signed the get. The Sefer wrote the get, and you have one signature, that's kosher. We're going to see in the Gemara, it'll be a Rabbi Yirmiya that says, Chasam Sefer Sheninu, not Chasam Sefer, not the son, but Chasam Sefer, the father. That the Chasam Sefer, that the Sefer signed together with another eight. So what's the Chiddush in that? Mechem will talk about that on tomorrow's daf. Ish Ploini eight, kosher. You don't have to go and sign Reuven ben Yaakov. If you say Reuven 8, that's kosher. Ben Ish Ploini 8. If you have Ben Yaakov 8, that's also kosher. Ish Ploini Ben Ish Ploini. Vekosov 8. You write Reuven Ben Yaakov, you left out the word 8. Also kosher. Vekachoy Nechi Adas V'Yishalayim Oysen. And in fact, that final case of just signing the name Reuven Ben Yaakov and leaving out 8, that's how the Nechi Adas V'Yishalayim used to sign. And Rashi says, because they wanted to sign Bekitzer. In other words, don't be so verbose. They just wrote Reuven ben Yaakov, finished, without adding the word eight. Finally, kosher chanichosoy. Chanichosa is also kosher. A chanich is usually a nickname. Here Rashi says it's the nickname of the family. And so therefore it's very similar to today that we all have family names. This was not common necessarily in the times of the Talmud, in times of the Mishnah. But if you had families, one name, family's name is Goldberg, and the other guy's name is Rosenberg. So if Yaakov wrote Yaakov Goldberg instead of saying Yaakov ben Yitzchak, and if Rosenberg wrote also Yitzchak Rosenberg instead of saying Yitzchak ben Avram, that's also kosher. That's also sufficient. We'll mention see more tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow. We started off the first case. What was the first case? You wrote out, the Sofer wrote out 80% of the get on the right-hand side. There wasn't enough room to finish. So he finished the other 20% on the left-hand side, on the next column, and that was signed by two Edom, it's kosher. Maybe, in fact, initially, these were two separate gittin. Visrami le zman de kama, the Edom de Basra. The Gazi zman de Basra, the Edom de kama. In other words, what we're afraid is that there's something deceptive going on over here. Initially, there were two separate gittin written, and the second get on the left-hand column started off higher on the parchment than the get which was written on the right part of the parchment. So you started, for instance, the right get starting down, I don't know, let's assume that the right-hand side had 15 lines. So you could easily squeeze in 12 lines of get into the 15 lines. However, for some reason, the Sofer only started writing the get on line number 6. Okay, so you don't have enough room, obviously, for 12 lines on the right-hand side. However, they contend the left-hand get started all the way at the top, higher than the 12 lines, or the 15 lines, all the way on the top. And therefore, now when we get to the chsimois, they are now parallel to where the first get was written on the right-hand side. And what we're concerned about is that maybe on the right-hand side, maybe there was a Tanai that was written, and somebody wants to remove that Tanai. So you know what they did? They went and cut off that part of the get, the last two or three lines, where they had a Tanai written, and there may have been eight of them already signed there. They cut it off. And now you look at the get on the left-hand side, and he cut off top of the part over there. So you have eight lines from the first get, and you cut off the last four lines. And on the left-hand side, they cut off the top eight lines, and they're left with the last four lines. So now I have eight on the right and four on the left. Originally, yesterday or 2 days ago, these were two separate gittin. And they were all signed, and we were ready, presumably, to go and sever the right from the left. And before we had a chance to do that, somebody did some monkey business, and he cut down from the right, and he cut from the top of the left, and it worked out perfectly that the line that ended on the first hand side is exactly where it should have ended for purposes of the next get on the left hand side. So it was a natural flow from one to the other, but we have cut away from the first get on the bottom. And Shelley has a very witty point to make.
And when he was asked about what he did, he was in denial.
In denial. Oh, boy. That's beautiful. Anyway, bottom line is, yes, Shlomo, yes, your question.
I have a question. That relates to what you were saying. If, let's say, if you write a check today and you somehow miswrite your name, instead of writing a new check, for instance, or some document, you just initial it. Would there be some device? I haven't come across this yet, but would there be some device? Let's say the name was not quite accurate, but the paper was cut, the star was cut somehow, and maybe put an initial on the other part to show that it was the same witness, the same Aiden.
If in fact you can do that somehow by verifying, maybe that would work. We're talking about a situation that
I haven't come across anything like that. I don't know if there is anything.
Yeah. I don't know either, but if there was a real concern about the cutting on the right and on the left, and if two Edom would come on the scene and say, no, the boy said we were here for the last 24 hours, this is one get, we witnessed the cipher writing it out, and here's 10, here were 8 lines, here were 4 lines, presumably there wouldn't be a concern. We're talking about a situation where it's all a mystery, and therefore we're concerned that maybe somebody tried to do some deception. Really, these were two getting initially. He doesn't really mean Zman and Edom, but he really means to say the first get and the second get, that part of it was written parallel to the second part of the second get. So that the first get started off lower down on the page, the second get started much higher than the page, so that the first 8 lines of the first get, it was actually all 12 lines of the get, plus the chasimis, were on the right side. But where did the first get begin? It only began halfway down the piece of paper. The second get was written from the top of the second column, and so therefore the bottom of it, the Edom de Basra, meaning the bottom part, the last line or two or three of the second one, are now parallel to the beginning of the first get. The Gaza Zaman de Basra, and somebody cut off the Zman, meaning the upper lines of the second get. The Edom the Kamani went and cut off the bottom lines of the first get, so now you have 8 plus 4, and it works together. But really, these were two separate kittens. Amr of Abba, Amr Rav, Bishyeshu Revach Mel Matzah. It's talking about that you cannot say that they cut off the last 4 lines, because after those 8 lines on the right-hand side were finished, there's plenty of margin down below where theoretically the Sofer could have, and perhaps should have, continued writing, but he decided to go and write on the left-hand column. So you see that nobody did any cutting, because you see it's all margin down below. So it's clear it's one get. On the right-hand side, you see there's plenty of margin. But maybe still on the left-hand side, there was originally a full get over there, and they cut off the top of the get. Again, the same teretz. There's still margin on the bottom of the first. There's margin on the top of the second. So nothing to worry about. It's clear. It's all one get. The kosav, meaning that initially, last month, he was angry at his wife, and he had the sofer write out the first 8 lines of the get, and then before he finished, the husband stopped and he said, Sofer, don't continue your work. I want you to stop right here. It looks like we'll have a reconciliation. I don't want you even to finish the get. And guess what? And then a week later, a month later, he goes back to the original Sofer and says, Sofer, change my mind. We're going to go ahead. Finish off the last 4 lines. And if you're going to do like this, then it's going to, like we said earlier today, Nechtem v'yoyim v'nechtem b'layla, or Nechtem li'achar zman. That is going to be a different date. It'll be a Shtar Muktim, because the Shtar was written a month ago or a week ago, and now you're finishing it off a month or a week later. So Zukti Yomara, why am I not concerned? And that's why the Sofer started from a new column. You know, it's a new beginning, so to speak. Zukti Yomara, the Kosovo Ariat Milmata, Umiteres Milmala. He stopped in the middle of the sentence. In the middle of the sentence, Ariat Muteres L'Chalodon. He finished Ariat in the middle and on the end of the first column. So he's saying, ah, that's where he stopped. Come on, he wouldn't stop in the middle of a sentence. Maybe Taka, this is what happened. He wrote Hariat, and the Baal came and said, stop, don't write Muteris. Stop where you are, Hariat, period. And only after that, a week later, he writes the Muteris. So Timura, Kuli Haile Chashin, come on, give me a break. It says Hariat over there, Muteris on the top. Don't tell me he wrote it a month ago, and now he wrote it at the end. It doesn't jive. Rav Ashi Omar Diyadiyah Bey Mischata Dimigilta. Mischata Dimigilta means, says Rashi, you could tell how the Megillah was written, how the parchment was formed, that this, there was no erasure or there was no one cutting pieces. I see Shelley has a witty comment to make, please.
If it's not verifiable, then you're just second guessing.
And second getting, right?
Guessing.
Yeah, very good, beautiful. Now, what is this Yadiyah Beid Mischasad Megilta? So Rashi gives us a little bit of a background on how they used to make parchment in the good old days. It's an interesting Rashi. It's 10 lines from the top of the Omid. Ravashi Omar. Kulu kashiyosa behochi mitaritzen. With this teretz, all the kashas of the infant. He's going, Yadiyah Beid Mischasad Megilta. That what? Shenikibah Mesichas Haklaf Sabbath kol get. You can see how the klaf was stretched on all sides of the get. You can tell that this is the authentic, original piece of parchment. Nothing was added, nothing was subtracted. How is it nicker? Shachar the of, that it was still dark, black, and thick. Galovim are apparently the people that are working on the parchment. So what did they used to do? Shederech oisei klofim, those that made parchment, koishrin anovim saviv, they would go and put stones around the piece of parchment, and they would tie the parchment to those stones, or maybe put the stones on top of the parchment at the edges, lim toyech haklaf, to go and stretch the klaf. Umaschilu lesaknoi besamuch, and then the galovim, as he called them, those that are the parchment makers, would only start being mesakin. Mesakin meaning to go and clean it and to thin out the parchment, because remember we're saying on the edges it's black and thick, so they're working on the rest of the parchment. The edges of the parchment are held down by the stones, they're tied to stones. And now, from where the stones end, that's where the galov begins his work on the klaf. And we're talking about even if there are no margins. So you don't have to worry that maybe he changed his mind, like Imara said before, because you recognize all around the parchment where the sefer wrote, you have this black, thicker edge all around it. So you see clearly this is the original parchment. They didn't add, they didn't subtract, they didn't cut. So you have no concern, even though the second part of the get was written on the left column. And with this, we've concluded Rabbi Sai. I thank you all for your participation. I wish you all a wonderful, beautiful Shabbos. We do not